They're back together again. Eric and Jeff are reunited as friends. Old Movie BS is back together again. Do you remember the day when Jeff moved away? Well, he changed his mind and turned around. Now he's back to stay. Old Movie BS is back together again.
Well, howdy, folks. Welcome to the program. I am your old pal, Eric D. Snyder, here with my co-host, Jeff Bayer. We're the hosts of Movie Yes with Bayer and Snyder.
Heidi-ho, everybody. It's Jeff Bayer here, along with my sidekick, Eric D. Snyder. Is that what we're doing the whole show? We're going to talk like that?
Just gonna slow things down a little.
Land sakes. You know, that makes perfect sense, because guess what? Look, we have a fake beer sponsor today.
Oh, who's your fake beer sponsor?
My fake beer sponsor is from Deschutes. Armory XPA. An experimental pale ale.
Experimental?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy stuff that they're trying here. I grew a tail. I think that's related.
Huh. I am curious what experimental beer means. Like, are they like tinkering with it to see if they can make it taste good? Like, are they adding some flavor maybe, or making it not taste like yeast and grain?
I'm starting to think you don't actually want an answer.
I did at first, actually, but then I wandered off.
I feel nice, and I'm doing the rare noon beer because
yeah,
this is the first
rare.
Time.
Sure,
this is the first time in my home base doing the show.
Yeah, I'm
up here in my office,
and
things are going swimmingly.
Good.
And if we hear any drilling today during the show, that's just an electrician doing stuff to a 1923 house. So there we go.
Sure, you'll have some of that. We need to be sure and have a big party in 2023 when your house turns 100.
I know.
Big centennial.
I want the city to recognize it.
Well.
Which is going to be rough, because I feel like there's probably in this neighborhood
a lot of houses, yeah.
About like 700 houses that are about to turn 100.
Yeah, and I would guess that you and our other friends in the neighborhood are the latest in a series of doctors who have lived in those houses in the Irvington neighbor of Portland.
Irvington.
Neighborhood. Now let's talk about movies.
Let's talk about The Last.
The Last Witch Hunter.
Now, do you remember the first Witch Hunter?
Not by name. I can picture him. A squirrely guy, lived in Salem, Massachusetts. Beard, I think. No, he's the last witch hunter insofar as, I guess there used to be more witch hunters. He's Vin Diesel. His name's Calder. And there used to be, we gather, a lot of witch hunters back like 800 years ago. Because
right.
There's a prologue in the movie that we see him with long hair and a beard and his fellow witch hunters out just killing witches, just dropping them right and left.
That's not true. No, they're after a queen witch.
Right. But
the queen witch appears to have some minions of some sort, but it's never clear.
They're her under witches.
Yeah, I guess, but they look more like goblin kind of things. I don't know.
She doesn't look like a witch either. I didn't see no green skin or no pointy nose, no black hat.
All right.
She ain't riding no broom.
But in general, it seems like, well, this queen witch is she's a badass.
Oh, yeah.
She can get things done.
You don't get to be the queen witch by being a wimp.
That's right. And apparently she was in charge of the Black Plague. That was her idea. And it worked pretty successfully because the witches...
Very effective
They want to be left alone. They want the planet because they were here first, supposedly, even though, again, not really explained.
Yeah. So they kill all the other witch hunters, basically, and she kills Vin Diesel, Calder, but she doesn't kill him. She instead curses him with immortality. He'll live forever.
And here's the to me, this is one of the funnier parts. When she's doing it, she's telling him how awful it's going to be and how he's never going to have – he's never going to be able to relax. And it's just going to be miserable, this eternity that she's cursing him with.
Curse you with life to never know peace.
Yeah, he'll never know peace. Oh, doesn't that sound terrible? Flash forward, he's pretty much Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
In the modern time. First of all, I didn't even know that we were going modern with this movie. That's how little I knew. So that was surprising. I was like, oh, we're on an airplane. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's present day. And Vin Diesel's just dieseling it up in present day, enjoying himself quite a bit. Quite a bit as the last witch hunter.
Calder, his job now, he's got a deal worked out with some priests. Bunch of priests called the Axe and Cross, and he goes around making sure that the witches don't get out of line. Because they've made a truce, the witches and the humans. Witches do their thing, just they're not allowed to use magic on people.
You can't do it, but at the same point, it seems that they can use their magic to make their flower shop beautiful. Mm-hmm. They can use magic when they're just with witches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Witch on witch magic is fine.
To make drinks and stuff like that.
You just can't use it on humans. But then some witches go rogue and they want to use it on humans. And then Vin Diesel has to come along and take them to prison. Put them in witch prison.
You know what's weird? There is a big, colorful world here. They just don't necessarily explain it very well. And it's weird because a lot of it is tell and not show. Which is never a good idea, especially when Vin Diesel does a lot of the talking.
Because Vin Diesel has been in a lot of movies now, and this character is like 800 years old. He's still got marbles in his mouth. Still can't talk.
Cannot talk. And not only that, there's no real quirks about him. It's just Vin Diesel.
He's like, boring.
He's boring. It's not like he's kind of become dead inside. And therefore, he's like Terminator in the sense that all he cares about is killing witches.
He could die.
There's no character here. It's just Vin Diesel and a sword that occasionally can be put to fire.
He says to somebody, you know what I'm afraid of? Nothing. It's boring, really. And he's joking, but I thought, yeah, it's boring because also he's immortal. He can't be killed.
Right.
So that's also boring.
It's that thing where there's a lot of flashbacks to like his gladiator past lifestyle where he had a wonderful wife and daughter and they were tragically killed by a witch. So now that's his pursuit. And we waste time with that. We waste time with this young witch named Chloe. She's got special powers too.
The quest is that he's trying to find the witches that killed Michael Caine. Oh, Michael Caine is in the movie for a minute, narrating just long enough to give us exposition, and then he dies. And so Calder wants to find out who killed him, find the witches that killed him. And the clue he has is, remember your death, meaning his own death, meaning back at the time when the witch queen cursed him. Mm-hmm. And so he keeps trying to go back into his memories to find the clues there. And that all just seems like a very tenuous and vague quest.
Yes, and not only that, it's like he keeps getting closer to remembering his past, and we're just like, well, can you just please remember your past? Elijah Wood is also in it for a second.
Mm-hmm. He's the new priest, takes over for Michael Caine.
Let's just say that the third act consists of Elijah Wood hands Vin Diesel a Google map. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here, we found out where the bad witch is.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
and again, because we keep slowing down, we keep hearing about all of this exposition, but it doesn't – again, this it should be kind of cool. Witches walking amongst us, an immortal that is like in control of it. There's a witch council that we never really get to fully understand.
It's a fine idea for a cheesy fantasy movie.
Yeah, and it's just never, ever elevated. There's like Vin Diesel has – an entire safe of weapons and apparently potions, but again, they're never explained. You know what this movie needed? Mm. This movie needed a training montage. If it's Elijah Wood or if it's
doesn't have to train. He's been doing it for like 800 years.
No, He should have trained them, because then at least he could have been like, this is how you kill a witch with this. This is what this does.
Well, I don't think the others kill. Like, I think only he's allowed to kill witches. And mostly he just arrests them. He doesn't kill a lot of them. Mostly he arrests them, which I guess in that regard is better than the police.
I guess.
I can't even get worked up. It's too stupid and boring to even get worked up about.
I don't think it's too stupid and boring. I just think it's constantly average. And it's just kind of like, look, you're trying to start a franchise, obviously. Mm-hmm. Try harder.
Yeah, like I said, stupid and boring. I give it a D.
It's a 5 out of 10.
All right. The Last Witch Hunter. And it will indeed be The Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah, I did.
They're not making sequels to this.
This would be really surprising if Vin Diesel proves he can lead a franchise that is not Fast or Furious.
He can't.
We'll find out.
We already know he can't. I'm telling you.
But if it makes money, then money trumps talent.
Right, and... but it won't make money. That's what I'm saying.
All right. You have declared.
Mm-hmm. No, this thing, it won't make – I bet it tops out at $30. It makes $30 this weekend.
Can I take the over and can we bet a lot?
Yes. I see no flaw in that idea.
Lovely.
Then there's a movie. Hey, this is made by a real director, Rock the Casbah, from Barry Levinson.
I think you're saying that used to be. Yeah, I think he used to be a real director.
I was looking at that. He actually barely only even used to be. He made, well, going back, Diner, The Natural.
Bam, bam.
Sherlock Holmes, sure. Good Morning Vietnam, Rain Man.
Woo!
And then it became the 90s. You got your Avalon, Bugsy, Toys, Jimmy Hollywood, Disclosure, Wag the Dog, Sphere, Bandits, Envy. Remember Envy? That Ben Stiller terrible, terrible comedy?
Jack Black?
I think so. Man of the Year, which was the Robin Williams becomes a politician.
Oh, yeah. No.
What Just Happened? A terrible, terrible Robert De Niro Sundance movie. The aptly titled What Just Happened.
Yes.
And some other garbage. And now, all
right, so
Casbah.
He has not been making good movies for a while.
Not in a while, no. And he continues his streak.
Well, but here's the thing. You put Bill. You got Bill Murray in the lead.
Yeah, that's exciting.
As a down on his luck music manager.
And we love Bill Murray. And we love him in a role like this where he's kind of a con man a little bit. Kind of false and shady. But lovable. And he's a rascal.
Right. He is definitely a rascal. Why wouldn't this movie be great?
Yeah. And with that, all that set up, that makes it all the more disappointing when it's not good. Because we do love Bill Murray so much.
Well, and it's a weird thing because they clearly tease us that this movie, in the very beginning, they tease us that this movie has to do with a girl in the cave who watches
Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan. And then it's like, oh, okay, we have to get there. That's what you're letting us know, Barry Levinson. You're letting us know that this is involved somehow. Okay.
He's Bill Murray is Richie Land's music talent manager. He's got this girl played by Zooey Deschanel who wants to be a singer.
And right from the beginning, I was like, oh, this is terrible character development. But then you just realize, no, she's not really a character in this movie.
Yeah.
And
they go to Afghanistan for a USO tour.
Good, right.
And in Kabul, things go awry. They run afoul of some of the locals. And then Bill Murray maybe eventually, and this is the whole premise of the movie, but it takes a long time to get there, where finally there's a local girl who wants to be a singer and the Afghanistan equivalent of American Idol. And then that becomes a factor. But man, there's a lot of just kind of farting around before any of that
happens.
There's
a lot of farting around. Kate Hudson plays a hooker, otherwise a prostitute, otherwise a whore in this movie.
She's a whore. She's a straight-up whore.
And it is weird that...
she's not even a sex worker. She's a whore.
It's just not a good character. Like, don't sign up to play this character, women. That would have been like, well, all women should pass on this role.
There are whores in real life and probably in Afghanistan, I suppose.
Okay. Then you get a real whore to play this to add some authenticity to it. But anyway, so that whole thing doesn't make sense. It just constantly feels like, oh, this is your rough draft, and you're going to do two or three more edits to find the tone that you want.
We're going to go through, and we're going to make it funny. We're going to put in some actual humor.
Yeah, it's a pacing issue. The delivery of jokes just – it falls off. It feels like the beat is wrong. And then in this third act, I would call this movie fairly patronizing as far as like the white American coming in mm-hmm. and mucking up what is already a horrific situation in Afghanistan and kind of playfully doing it.
Right.
Like there is a point where machine guns are like everybody has a machine gun in their hands and there's some weird poppy music that's going on and we don't even know like who's dead and who's not at this
right.
point. It's a very odd thing. And
the important thing is that, and that whole time the camera's on Bill Murray. As long as we see him, we know he's going to be okay. That's the important thing.
Gosh, is it tonally off? And even I worship Cat Stevens.
I thought you were going to stop saying that.
and even this lovely voice of this young actress singing Cat Stevens songs mm-hmm. ain't for me. It just doesn't have the power that is needed to be expressed in this moment for whatever purpose it is. I get what they're trying to do. And I just feel like this movie fails. Like it shouldn't be in Barry Levinson's hands, and it should be a better script and blah blah blah.
Yeah, I don't. I Barry Levinson is the least of this movie's problems.
Yeah.
I think.
But
it's not even a whole idea for a movie. It's
Bill Murray. This character could have been such in his wheelhouse that it's just a shame that we don't get to see him play a little bit better in this because. He's pretty good in it.
Yeah,
it's just a bad.
The story isn't compelling, and the characters aren't compelling. But he, you know, you like him, and I agree. It's the kind of thing that he's good at, and he just not given much to work with. And honestly, I don't think he's trying very hard. I think he's just coasting. He's phoning this one in.
Hang on.
Hmm.
Isn't that one of the reasons we love Bill Murray?
No, we love it because it looks like he's coasting.
Okay.
He makes it look effortless.
All right.
And I think in this case, he just didn't bother.
Yeah, there's a bit at the end of this movie where he's clearly improvising as his character to this clerk,
haggling
while the credits roll.
Buying something, yeah.
And even with that, it's like you can see the genius of Bill Murray working, but just not having it pay off in this situation.
Mm-hmm. C-.
It's a five.
And then you, for some reason, didn't feel like seeing Jem and the Holograms.
I just simply threw up my arms and said, nah, I'm not, no, nah, yeah, nah, nah.
I saw Jem and the Holograms. I did not ever watch the Jem cartoon. I was aware
of it. I did. This is the reason that I kind of want to see it because I have good comparison. I watched a lot of cartoons. Jem was one of them,
including girls' cartoons. Really?
Yes, okay. I watched. I watched. Let's
There's
see.
No
what
shame
else.
In that.
The Care Bears a little bit. Mm-hmm. I watched the Care Bears. Care Bear stare, very powerful. Let's see. Was Smurfs for girls or was Smurfs for everybody?
No, that was for everyone.
Smurfs were for all. Mm-hmm. I don't think
the Care Bears were for girls. The Care Bears was just for really little kids, like 6 and under.
Oh, okay.
Jem, the cartoon was on. It went from 85 to 88, so that starts when I was 11. I was not yet gay enough to watch Jem, but I was aware that it existed. And you know, I was
probably shedding my gay right around that mm-hmm. time, so that's why I was. She was
sloughing
hot.
It off.
Jem was hot.
Sure. She was the Hannah Montana of her day. She's got a secret identity and all that. And in the movie, let me find my notes here. Sorry. Turning pages. Mm-hmm. In the movie is made to look realistic. It's made to look like it's set in the real world. You got this girl named Jerrica, and she's talking to YouTube, and she and her sister and their two foster sisters want to be a band, kind of. So the Jerrica films herself playing a song on the guitar and singing. And it's fine. She has a lovely voice. It's nothing special. And she uploads it to YouTube, or her sister actually uploads it to YouTube. And the next day, off the hook. It's viral. Everyone wants to know, who is this Jem? She calls herself Jem. That's her nickname.
You're like Like, not the next day, but you're saying, like, you know, it seems like the next
I mean the next day, the next morning. Yeah. The sister, Kimber, uploads it, you know, late that night, and the next next morning, thousands of hits. They got emails from Erica Raymond, the music industry executive, played by Juliette Lewis. They got her email, like, hey, I want you, Jem. And Jem's like, nah, you got to take me and my sisters, too. And she's like, okay. So they go to L.A. and they're going to get a contract and stuff. And it's a really weird dichotomy. This director, John M. Chu, this is the movie he was born to direct. Because let me tell you what else he directed. He directed a couple of Step Up movies.
Oh.
He directed the Justin Bieber concert films.
Oh, this has to be on the poster.
Like, and
this
he directed G.I. Joe Retaliation, also from Hasbro. Also an 80s Hasbro cartoon. Yeah. So this is everything. His whole life has been leading him to direct a Jim and the Holograms movie. And it's weird how he makes it. It's filmed and it's treated like it's the real world. These are real people and real stuff. But the story is so dumbed down and simplistic and simple-minded, has no concept of how the real world works. So it's the story is pure fantasy, but he's trying to make it look like a real, like a Star is Born kind of rags to riches story. It doesn't make any sense. And it's surprisingly unfun. Like, it's a drama and it's dour sometimes. And
it's PG. I'm surprised they didn't pep up the fun with that, just like trying to get that family rating. Yeah. In the description on IMDb, it says that she and her three sisters begin a journey of discovering that some talents are too special to keep hidden. Is that true?
No. Well, the movie thinks it's true. That's another thing. The movie keeps going on and on about how talented she is and how she's special, and everyone wants to know who is Jem really, and it talks about all the hard work of being successful, but it doesn't actually do any of the work to get those things. Like, Jem is the most popular, beloved singer in the world just because the movie says she is, but we never actually like really see her being special or do anything special. Characters are all super thin and flat and bland.
Is the end about Jem embracing Jerrica, like her true self?
It's more that we are all Jem. We are all all Jem. Yeah,
I didn't know that. Huh. All right.
And there she has. Do you remember Jem had a boyfriend, Rio?
Yeah.
He's in the movie. Just FYI.
That's all you want to say about that?
He's very hunky. He's very cute, this guy, Rio. And there is a hilariously gratuitous scene where Jerrica goes to his hotel room. And guess what?
Is his shirt off?
Out of the shower. Just stepped out of the shower. And it couldn't be more gratuitous. And the teenage girls in the audience tittered and giggled.
Nice.
Which was the desired effect.
All right, two questions.
Mm-hmm.
How's Juliette Lewis? Is she the hero that we always expect her to play in these movies? Always perfectly straight-laced and put together?
Yeah, no, she's white trash. I mean, the character isn't, but she is.
And what about Molly Ringwald?
Yeah, she's in it. She plays Jerrica's aunt. Jerrica and her sister live with her Bailey. Aunt and her two foster daughters. Dad died, and that's a factor. It's weird. Their mom is never mentioned. Not that, she died too, or we never knew her. Just never a mention of mom. Dad died, and that's a factor because he left this thing that makes holograms that eventually kind of plays into it. When they first go to L.A. to become stars, and they're doing the makeover, and Erica Raymond tells Jerrica, those earrings you're wearing, those aren't right. Let me take those. So she takes the earrings, and they're earrings her dad gave her, and she puts them in a box in a safe there at the record label office for no reason other than to make them hard to get later in the movie when they need those earrings. There is no reason to put those earrings in a safe other than that. That made me laugh.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, so
Jem and the Holograms.
And it's close to 2 hours. Get out of here with that.
Yowzer.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
There's another C minus.
Wow.
So really, really stinky week for movies.
Well, I mean, you have Paranormal Activity, which is not being screened and is also on video on demand. So
yeah, the ghost dimension.
There's that.
Is it on video on demand?
I think that's what they said. I think that's theater owners are upset because it went on video on demand a week before. So then some theaters are refusing to show it.
I know it didn't go on video on demand a week ago.
Oh, I don't know. This is something I read. But I actually.
Something you read or something you made up?
Skimmed.
Mm-hmm.
I read a headline. I clicked on an article and got bored after the first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Was that Duck Hat?
That is. Do you have similar trouble saying Batman? Do you say Batman?
Batman?
That's Batman. True. You always said Batman. Yes, that was dog cat. Who else would it be meowing?
The cat. No, I just I want to make that name my own, and I just haven't figured out how yet.
Okay.
Sure, you call him dog cat.
Right.
Doesn't mean I have to follow suit.
Mm-hmm. I gather you'll be fine with me calling your dog by alternate names.
Give me an example.
Schmosten.
Yes.
Asden.
What? No.
Asden. Asden.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
There's a lot of possibilities.
Duquette. All right. We'll work on it.
We probably won't. Question of the week. We asked you movies. Or no, music. Songs. Songs and movies.
What is the best use of a song in a movie?
That's what it was.
That
sounds right.
That was the twist. We added in a movie.
Mm.
Porter, that thing you do in the movie by the same name, without that song doing its job, the movie is worthless. It's true. If that song wasn't good,
mm-hmm.
that song that is played, I think last time I watched it and counted, it was like 38 times during that movie.
At least.
At least some portion of it. If that wasn't a catchy tune.
True.
Written by the one and only Mr. Hanks. Then it would not have been.
Yeah, that song plays a major part in that movie. That's true.
Yeah.
And it is a great song.
It is a great song.
And
I bought the soundtrack.
Me too. I had that soundtrack.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us both with soundtracks. That movie is good, but not one that you can really watch a lot of times, or I can't anyway, because it doesn't have any conflicts. So it's just boring after once or twice.
Keep trying.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's cute and it's fun, but yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Mm,
It's one to catch on cable.
Sure, watch a few minutes of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch the whole thing because you know what happens, and it's not going to be anything that involved any conflicts.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Christopher says he thought this would have been an obvious one, but no one else had said it. The Pixies' "Where Is My Mind" at the end of Fight Club. Pretty great. That's a pretty great use of a song. Almost, it's almost iconic, that song at the end of that movie.
Yeah. Like that Pixels, that song is that moment.
Pixies.
Period.
Not Pixies.
Pixies. Sorry. Pixels. I can't stop thinking about that movie. I loved Pixels.
Bridget mentions the Hot Stuff from The Martian. Good use of that song.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen The Martian, go see The Martian.
Yeah, go see that instead of this garbage, this new garbage in theaters this week.
Dustin says, "Hooked on a Feeling" from Guardians of the Galaxy. It really sets the tone for the whole movie. Here's the thing with Hooked on a Feeling. I don't think so. Because Hooked on a Feeling, to me, is Reservoir Dogs.
Mm. Mm.
It's the other one.
See, Reservoir Dogs is Stuck in the Middle with You.
Oh, no. Reservoir Dogs is a few songs for me.
Mm, for me, it's Just Stuck in the Middle with You.
Just Stuck in the Middle?
Yeah.
Nick
the says...
Lime in the Coconut? But no, wait. Guardians of the Galaxy. What is the Come and Get Your Love? That's the one from Guardians that gets me.
Okay. Nick says, "Thus spake Zarathustra. From 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's the big one everyone knows.
I would like to say thank you for reading that. I really appreciate
it. It's hard to say. And I think it's Thus Spake Zarathustra by Strauss. And it's hard to say. Zarathustra.
Richard says his favorite recent one. Favorite with a U, so we know where Richard is. Time in a Bottle during the Quicksilver scene in X-Men's Days of Future Past.
That's right. That's where he's jamming around super fast
Yeah.
And it's that slow. It's a
really good moment.
That's a funny moment, yeah.
It's actually the best moment of the movie, officially.
O. Stewart says, "We'll meet again at the end of Dr. Strangelove." An excellent choice. He also included a link to the YouTube video of it here on our Facebook page.
Oh, yes, he did. Oh, that means we have to listen to it and enjoy it.
Good use of that song.
Kurt says, "My answer." Mm. Should we say it now or save it?
Sure.
"You make my dreams come true. 500 Days of Summer. I was just so happy."
That's an excellent musical number.
And that's just one of the many. I just decided, okay, I'll just pick that one and move on. I'll stop thinking. I'm not going to exhaust myself over this. Because, I mean, I'm a sucker for, like, the Princess Bride song. Storybook Story. Mm. I mean, there's a million great songs in movies.
Joseph.
Oh, you know which one's the best? Hans Zimmer's musical score in True Romance. That's the best one. That's my answer.
That's not a song.
Doesn't matter.
Well, it does, because we asked for the best song.
That's true.
Best use of a song.
That's true.
Joseph makes a good point. He says, "So long farewell to escape from Nazis and the Sound of Music." Can't get much more useful than that. We did ask the best use of a song, and I guess in that sense, that might be one of the most useful songs. You know, anything that can distract the Nazis is a useful song.
I never put that together.
Yeah. Greg, oh, I got you, yes. Babe, from Groundhog Day and Back to the Future.
Brandt. Brandt? Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't Stop Me Now, Queen, Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
When they're doing it in rhythm.
Yeah.
Like that's zombies good. In rhythm. That's really good.
Johnny B. Goode and Back to the Future. That's a great use of a song, and using the song in character, in the plot. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's so good. I like Back to the Future. I'm just going to say it.
Really, it's an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Mickey like says the tournament montage in Karate Kid with "You're the Best Around."
You're the best around. I've had that on many a soundtrack that I've made for myself.
Donka Shane, sung by Ferris Bueller.
Oh.
At the parade.
Oof. Although when he does Shout, yeah. And the dancers on the sidewalk when they come out, and it's like, Twist and Shout.
Yeah.
How did they all choreograph? How did they know? This is amazing.
Why is there a parade on a school day?
Yeah. Ooh.
She's like the wind from Dirty Dancing, says Rose.
Who wrote that song?
Patrick Swayze.
That's right. Wrote and sang.
I know.
Mm-hmm. She's like the wind.
He could do it all. He could write. He could sing. He could dance.
Jesse's Girl. Boogie Nights during the attempted drug deal. That is the most intense use of a song that doesn't fit in a really good way. It's just great. Oh, man.
Dallas.
I don't remember the creepy version of Tiptoe Through the Tulips in Insidious. I don't remember that. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's playing on a record player, I think.
Let me hear it. Give me a little.
Tiptoe Through the Tulips? Do you not know that song?
No, I know it. I just don't know the creepy version.
I don't remember. Was it a creepy version? I think it was just the regular famous version, which is creepy when it's used in a creepy movie, I think is all that was. But I think it was the familiar Tiny Tim version.
Okay. Dennis says Magnolia, where everybody's doing the wise up part. Amy Mann singing, and then the cast starts singing too. Oh, so good. Whew. All right. What else we got? Ooh.
Dallas.
Lance.
Dallas points out, "Goodbye Horses" in Silence of the Lambs. The millisecond you hear that opening beat, you were tossed into a basement with Buffalo Bill. I never thought about that. I know the moment you mean, and there's music there. I never thought about the song that's used there.
Agreed.
But yeah.
Lance says, "I'm a sucker for sports movies." Me too, Lance. Mm-hmm. Me too. "Warrior was such an interesting take on the traditional boxing movie plot. In the climactic scene, the final round in the bout between the Conley brothers, all noise drops out and they play About Today by The National," which is an amazing, amazing song. Because despite all of the plot points, the competition in the crowd, all that matters is the relationship between two brothers. Gets me every time.
Speaking of brothers, my brother Lane Well, he gave several answers, which is not allowed, but I guess he gets the family pass. Eye of the Tiger.
Whoa, whoa. Hmm. Family pass.
Eye of the Tiger. Good choice. But he says the one he laughed the most at was Con te partiro at the end of Step Brothers, which is very funny. They're singing this Italian song. And, of course, one of the most memorable, Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a pretty classic use of a song in a movie, Bohemian Rhapsody in Wayne's World.
By the way, I should give credit to Fred, says, get your love, Guardians of the Galaxy. So he agrees with me on that. Mm. Dan says, God only knows at the end of Love Actually. It's really good, but for me, when it's the jump by the Pointer Sisters, it's so stupid that it works for me because it's like it's Hugh Grant dancing around to a song, and it should not be golden, but I've seen it so many times because that's the annual movie with the wife.
Oh, really? And, you've never mentioned that on this show?
No, yeah, it is. Huh, have I mentioned that I keep meaning to do a super cut of that movie? That's
No, you never mentioned that either.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, so what's your answer? You got a million.
I have many answers. You can't narrow them down.
Oh,
because...
wait. I'll give you the family pass, so now you can say them all.
Mm-hmm. I don't have one. I can't declare one winner. But the scene in... I can't think of the name of it. That crazy French movie.
Crazy French movie.
In the intermission, he's playing the accordion, walking through the catacombs. Holy Motors. That's what it was called. That's a great use of a song.
It's a great use of a song, mainly because, no offense to Holy Motors, I was close to being like, I think I'm done. And then that happened, and I'm like, I worship this movie.
That's twice now. It's two things you've worshipped in this show.
Cat Stevens
and Holy Motors. That is a weird theology you have, where you worship Cat Stevens and Holy Motors.
If it brings me joy and it doesn't cause harm to others, mm-hmm. I can worship as many things
as I
want.
Well, exactly. That's true. I'm pointing out it's an unusual combination of deities. But then also you got great musical numbers in musicals, like Be Our Guest and Beauty and the Beast. It's a great use of a song.
Which one from Mary Poppins are you going with?
See, that's hard to choose. Supercalifragilistic is a fun song, but doesn't really have much to do with the story. Let's Go Fly a Kite is more thematically useful.
You know what? I've listened to a Disney Apple radio station on mm-hmm. occasion
sure.
with my son. It'll be background noise. When Let's Go Fly a Kite comes on, he and I we dance around the room like crazy, and it's becoming a really significant moment. Like I get very emotionally caught up with the concept of fatherhood.
Well, I was going to say that's somehow why it works so well in the movie, because it's, hey, let's go out with our dad and fly a kite. Yeah. And he'll take time away from work. And
yes.
We'll understand that he has a lot on his mind, and we're going to fly a kite together.
I should make sure to have that song ready to go when I'm like, I hate this. I should just crank that. Mm-hmm.
That's another good one. Of course, Afternoon Delight and Anchorman. It's funny. The one that they all sing in Magnolia, when the fogs are falling.
Mm-hmm.
Give up, wise up, wise up. Amy Mann, is that it?
Yeah, we talked about it. That was somebody's answer.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
There was a Magnolia answer. It wasn't that, was it?
Yes, it was. Oh. It was Dennis saying the scene in which the cast sings all along to Wise Up. By Amy Mann. And I was like, yeah, Amy Mann singing that. It's so good.
Was I here when we talked about that?
No. You were doing your other show.
I have no memory of that.
I understand.
So there's some of my answers. There's a lot of them.
There is. There's so many good ones.
Question of the week for next week.
Remember Spaceballs? Hello, my baby.
Hello, yes.
That's so good.
Okay, maybe that's my new answer.
Oh,
and of course, speaking, that makes me think of Mel Brooks.
My little buttercup.
My little buttercup. Great. Smile. But Mel Brooks.
Please, little buttercup, won't you stay?
Why? Springtime for Hitler and the Producers.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great
song
and a great use of a song.
Right.
See, there's too many answers. Next week is Halloween. Spoiler alert. And so your question of the week is, what's your scariest moment in a movie theater? Scariest movie theater moment. And we'll talk about those for Halloween next week.
Mm-hmm.
Does Dylan have a Halloween costume?
We're working on it. We're working on it.
What does he want to be?
Train.
An entire train?
I think just the engine.
Okay.
Is what we're going to try to do. We're going to, we got some cardboard boxes from, we moved recently, and so we have some boxes mm-hmm. left over. So I think Lisa, and I'll do some cutting. Maybe she'll allow me to color some things too. But I think we're going to do that thing where it's like, it'll sit like kind of, it'll rest on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe he'll have something inside where he can like hold it.
Oh, right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like the idea of tying some boxes behind him.
Yeah.
Drag around behind him. To be cute.
He was a train engineer last year from an actual like kind of outfit that was mine as a child.
I remember that, yeah.
And I keep meaning to see if he can squeeze into it again. I don't know if he can. We'll find out. There's nothing better than a kid. Like a 3-year-old in like 2-year-old clothing just
mm-hmm.
ain't right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really weird.
So that's question of the week for next week, scariest movie moment or movie theater moment. And you can email us, moviebspdx@gmail.com, and you can post it on Facebook.
And you can get all that stuff at moviebs.com.
That's true. That's true. Should we play a game?
Would you like to play a game?
Yes, I would like to play the game of Pitch Me.
Pitch Me.
So the way we'll play Pitch Me is we each have an actor in mind, and we've got a friend of ours to give us a genre, and we'll make up a movie in that genre with those actors. Who is our special guest genre person today?
Jacob Hall from Movies.com and something new,
He just
right?
started over at Slash Film, one of those Slash Film guys, yeah. What's the genre?
The genre is supernatural, period piece, thriller.
Supernatural, period piece, thriller. Who's your actor?
My actor is Jeff Goldblum.
Mine is Juliette Lewis.
Oh.
Juliette Lewis and Jeff Goldblum in a supernatural, period piece, thriller.
Okay, he's...
I feel like we've done too many Old West things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's not do that.
Period piece...
Can it be like Jane Austen-y times?
Yes, I was just thinking Jane Austen-y times.
Okay.
And
Juliette Lewis is like this super trashy. No.
It's like My Fair Lady, but a supernatural thriller. He's trying to make her proper.
Right.
And it's hard because it's Juliette Lewis playing
right.
herself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that, they say casting, a good performance is 50% casting.
Yeah, and so it's supernatural. Who can both of them see ghosts, or can only one of them see ghosts, or is somebody a ghost?
What does that have to do with making her proper? Why does he need to make her proper? I think he needs to make her proper.
To thriller. Present.
Mm.
He's a con man.
Okay.
And he realizes that this family lost a daughter.
Mm. Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
This very rich family lost a daughter when they were younger.
Probably lost her to consumption. Died of consumption.
Yes. Completely 100% consumption. And what he realizes is if he can, Juliette Lewis for some reason looks just like her. This like 6-year-old, but now grown up. And if he can, train her on being with this family or convincing them that that's the daughter.
I think the daughter died as an adult or as a young woman.
Okay.
And Juliette Lewis looks exactly like her.
Okay.
Like to really sell it, she is like the identical twin of this dead girl, but she totally doesn't act like her because she's got her trash.
Oh, yes, that makes perfect sense.
That does mean that there'll have to be a scene where Juliette Lewis has to be the dead sister and like actually be proper.
But guess what?
So there'll be a behind the scenes of someone teaching Juliette Lewis how to play a character who is proper and decent.
That is good.
But yeah, so then Jeff Goldblum is going to...
And here's the thing. Hmm. Here's a twist. Well, first of all, the dead woman is the ghost in the movie.
She's going to come back and she's going to...
She's coming back.
...that this girl is trying to take her place.
Guess what she's super pissed about?
Hmm.
Jeff Goldblum killed her. That's a twist at the end.
That's the twist.
We didn't see it coming.
She didn't die of consumption. She died of Goldblum.
She didn't die of consumption. She died of Goldblum because Goldblum was trying to marry her for money.
Mm. Yes, trying to marry into the family because she got a nice dowry.
Oh, yeah, a couple of goats. And, oh, so sweet.
You see, check out the dowry on that one.
And, yeah, so he has to – so it's like he – it's very tense and it seems like he's shifty. We know he's shifty.
So now wait a minute though.
What?
So he teaches this trashy girl to pretend to be this dead girl. So then the family, to what end though? So the family thinks, oh, our daughter didn't die after all? Or is she going to pretend to be the ghost of the daughter? Come back to
no,
speak to
forget
them?
Forget consumption.
Okay.
Jeff Goldblum just kills her and is like, oh no, what have I done? It's going to be hard to marry into this family now.
Oh, so it's like
replace her.
It's like when you're pet sitting and the cat dies and you get a cat that looks just like it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So he's got to convince her. And then
the
real girl comes back.
The ghost is haunting Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. More than Juliette Lewis. Because Juliette Lewis is like, she's not evil.
She's a pawn. She's a pawn in Goldblum's game.
Yes.
Does
you know when has Goldblum been evil?
You mean in movies?
Yes, not about that one time.
I don't know. Can't think of any off the top of my head.
All right.
Does the audience know that he killed the girl?
We think maybe he had something to do with it, but we're not sure.
I think that should be a surprise. I think we can make that a twist.
It's a complete
surprise.
As far
as we know,
nobody saw it coming.
His fiance died.
And he's heartbroken.
He's heartbroken. Oh,
but then why is he trying to...
Right. Because the family would know that she...
Oh, wait.
Died.
Maybe he's not the one that's... he's not the one... Oh. He's not the one that's trying to make her proper. It's somebody else that knows. There's something here. We just got to find maybe is there a third character that's like...
Because the thing is, if we're going to have her pretending
to be...
Hang on.
Hmm. She's just like... Jeff Goldblum thinks that he's killed her.
Right.
She's back.
He has no idea how that can be because he's pretty sure he killed her.
Right. And what we find out later is somebody was plotting against him.
Yes.
Like the real love plotting against him. That's it.
Yes,
like,
there you go.
Like Charlie Hunnan or somebody stupid like that.
Yeah, Charlie Hummus. Somebody like that is going to come along. Yes. And so then we don't really ever see her not being proper. We only see her successfully impersonating.
Until the end.
Then she drops the act.
Yes.
And then she's like, fresh as a twig, governor.
Yep.
I like it.
And she's
in cahoots with the guy, with Charlie Hummus.
That's actually what it's called. Cahoots with the guy.
Cahoots with the guy.
No, it's called something else. Dead again. Dead ringer.
It's been done.
I know. Wait a minute. I thought she was dead.
I like that title. Wait a minute. I thought she was dead. Because right away, you know what kind of movie it's going to be.
That's right.
Ooh,
might as well cut to the chase.
Can we call it Jane Austen's Wait a Minute, I Thought You Were Dead?
Or just Cut to the Chase. Cut to the Chase would be a pretty good title for a movie.
It would. Not this one, though.
No. Something chase. Like Get Shorty.
Something
Cut
with
the chase,
yeah. Do you remember when they released a movie called Mafia? They called it Jane Austen's Mafia.
Yeah.
And it was a spoof of like gangster right. movies, and they threw in the Jane Austen because during the time there were lots of Jane Austen movies coming out.
Yeah.
Then do you remember that they had to stop calling it Jane Austen's Mafia because her estate?
Oh.
Yeah. Turned out you can't just go around calling something Jane Austen's without permission from the Jane Austen family, apparently.
It's a good story.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's how you play Pitch Me. That last part really wasn't part of it. That was more of an anecdote. More of a tangent, unrelated to Pitch Me. But when you play Pitch Me at home, you can have tangents if you want. So that's basically Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. What we've just done here today is pretty much what the show is like.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us. This week, all the movies are bad. That's not usually how it is. Off week for that, sorry. You got your Last Witch Hunter?
Yeah.
No. And then Rock the Casbah?
Yeah.
Oh, Bill Murray. Oh, Bill Murray. And then Gem and the Holograms.
Which is yeah, that, and that's worse or no?
It's just more of the same. A different kind of bad.
Yeah.
I can't get over how long and how mostly serious it is.
You have to sit through one of the three again. Which one do you sit through?
Whichever one's shortest is totally how I would choose that. I find them all equally annoying, I think.
Yeah.
And question of the week, tell us your scariest moment in a movie theater, and we'll talk about those next week for Halloween.
Ooh. Creepy.
And so until next week, for Movie S with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I'm Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.